This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Happy Monday. How are we all doing today? The camera's facing the wrong way, but I am here in the studio right now. I'm not too sure how that camera turns around. We'll have to look at that a bit later on. How was your weekend? I hope it went well. Mine was a bit poor. I mean, one, my electric scooter has a rear flat tyre or tube, so we couldn't really ride it anywhere, so it was just sitting in the shed doing absolutely nothing. I was sitting at 99 k's at the moment, so that's not too bad. I've only had it for about, what, 2-3 weeks now, and 99 k's on it. So, yeah, I'll tick it up quite a bit, and, yeah, that's bloody marvellous in my opinion. We'll get straight into it today with some music. George Thorogood, what's your favourite, you know, I guess you could say alcohol drink at a party? Well, George Thorogood is one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
Tell you a story about the house went blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went. So I goes to the landlady. I said, you let me slide. I have the rent for it tomorrow, the next day I don't know. So she let me slide it on, you know, people. I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me. But for 5 years, she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. I come home one particular evening. The landlady said, you got the rent money yet? I said, no. Can't find no job. Therefore, I ain't got no money to pay the rent. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. Said, I seen you today. You were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired. I've been walking all day. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come out, I didn't have a rent, and out the door I went. So I go down the street, down to my good friend's house. I said, look, man, I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days? He said, let me go and ask my wife. He come out of the house. I could see his face. I know there was no. He said, I don't know, man. She kind of funny, you know. I said, I know. Everybody funny. Now you for that too. So I go back home. I tell the landlady, I got a job, I'm gonna pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh yeah. And then she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. So I go in my room, pack up my things and I go. I slip on out the back door. Down the streets I go. She hollering about the front rent. She'll be lucky to get in the back rent. She ain't gonna get none of it. So I stop in the local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar. I rent my coat. I call a bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. He got down there. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon. now. At the bar, I'm getting drunk, I'm feeling mellow. I'm drinking bourbon, I'm drinking scotch, I'm drinking beer. Look at the bar, here comes the bartender. Does it look mad? Come down here. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. No, I ain't seen my baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer. Well, all day. This time, I said, look, man, what time is it? He said, the clock on the wall said 3 o'clock. The last call for alcohol. So what you need? One bourbon, one shot, one beer. My baby since a night on a week. Gotta get drunk, man, so I can't even speak. Gonna get high, man, listen to me. One drink ain't enough, Jack, you better make it three. Gonna get drunk, I'm gonna make it real clear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch.
So did you get that from George Surrogood? He wants one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. It is Monday the 15th of August. Welcome into Roundup. I'm Jodeci Apiata. I'm with you for the next, what do we have left? About 50 minutes left of the hour here on Roundup. And we'll start with some, I guess you could say, unfortunate news for both parties, but bullying in both Labor and National. Well, in Sam Uffendale's case, he did it while he was a young man. So, okay, he's been punished by leader Christopher Luxon, which led to Uffendale being stood down. Uffendale hasn't even been an MP for like 5 minutes, so let's be serious here. And there's plenty of stories coming in about allegedly labelling him a bully. Well, he's admitted that he was a bully, so it's not so much allegedly. But there are some other stories that have come out after the original one. That's what really happens, isn't there? So you've got the first original story, and then you've got all these after, and they just hurt just as much as the original. So he admitted to the first story where he was expelled from his then school after having a physical altercation with another student. That's politics for you. That's what I've got to say, really. Yeah, that is politics for you. It all comes out at some point. I actually feel a little bit remorseful for Sam. I mean, he made stupid decisions while he was a young man. Should he have been punished for it now? I mean, sure. But should he actually have been stood down for it? I don't think Luxon was going to stand him down until these other stories started to come out. So that's my answer for you. I'm hoping and I'm sure by now he's a changed man and he just wants to get on with life. That is Sam Uffendale for you. Our new elected MP for Tauranga after obviously Simon Bridges stood down causing a by-election. Simon Bridges is now up in Auckland at the Commerce place. I'm trying to think of the name. I'll come back to that. So to Labor now. A little-known backbencher, Greve Sharma, has thrown grenades at his own party. Among the claims that he was told to shut up, get that, shut up, by parliamentary service after laying complaints against staffers who were underperforming, drunk or absent in their roles. But instead of listening to my concerns, he said, this was actively turned into a major project by the Labor Party whips to bring me into dispute and to rein me in. I sat in meetings after meetings being told I was doing a terrible job, Sharma wrote. Early on Friday, a former staff of Sharma's told the New Zealand Herald that they needed counselling because of the alleged culture of bullying in the Labor MP's office. So Sharma's come out saying he's been bullied and our staff has come out saying that there's been some bullying in Sharma's office. So whether or not that Sharma has been a bully as well, does that make it better? No, makes it worse. The Long Post provides a timeline of alleged bullying Sharma claims he experienced starting in February 2021, in which he labels the now minister as the main preparator. And so it got me thinking, the now minister. So they were a whip at the time, and then the Wairarapa Times Age has, it's on the front page, that something like McInulty the bully, or something or other. So he's claiming that the, Kieran McInulty, the Labourist, or not Labourist MP, the Labour MP for Wairarapa, is the bully in this situation. He claimed, Sharma that is, that the minister kept gaslighting me, shouting at me, degrading me in front of caucus members and other attendees at events and telling me that he was such a terrible MP, which is rather hurtful. He said as a result of the alleged bullying, he slowly fell into a cycle of stress, depression and lack of hope as I found myself stuck. He also makes a claim without evidence that that after informing the parliamentary service that a Labour MP was misusing taxpayers' money, the concerns and his identity as the complaint were forwarded to the Labour Party whips. I had to put a bold face up as I struggled every day with the thought of contemplating suicide. So, not the best story, and it's obviously that will be, hopefully will be resolved, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of what he's done. I mean, did he really just do it right and then do a runner expecting something to happen? Well, in this case, nothing has really happened. We haven't heard much about it besides Jacinda Ardern saying, oh, there's no bullying going on and all that stuff. And Grant Robinson say the bigger the caucus, the bigger the problems, which he said this morning on News Talk ZB. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out. To sports news, yay, what a game for the All Blacks early yesterday morning. I got up, I was pumped for the game. I was feeling a bit, I didn't feel like we were going to win. And then is the camera turning back? Hello, everyone. The camera's back on me. So there we go. And I didn't think we were going to win. So, but obviously throughout the first half, the All Blacks were quite weak on defence. The South Africa keeps striking back, but it wasn't enough to take the win. And yes, boys and girls, the All Blacks won. 35-23, that was, the final score was. Now New Zealand rugby boss Mark Robinson has come out saying Foster's coaching fate will be judged when they return to New Zealand, which will be sometime this week, I'm pretty sure. I personally think they'll keep Foster on. I mean, he seems a lot happier after winning that game, to be honest with you. I mean, look at all the photos. He's kind of smiling away and all that stuff. So he does look a bit happier. I think that's a whole coat of stress that have come off because he's gone, I've won the game, I've kept my job. But, I think they will keep him on. One thing that caught my eye, which has seemed to slightly tame fans' views on Foster, is Adi Savia coming out saying, "That's my coach, I back him 100%. So we'll see what happens over the course of the week. It'll be interesting to see whether Foster stays on or gets the boot. But as I said, I personally think they'll keep him on. And if they do keep him on and the same thing continues, they need to sack Mark Robinson. While they, I don't know who can sack him, the sport, Minister of Sports maybe, but who's that, Grant Robinson? So maybe they need to start dealing with Robinson so we can get on with Foster. And then a lot of people have come out saying, oh, you know, don't be so harsh on Foster, like Graham Henry, for example, saying that's not the Kiwi way of doing it. But the Kiwi way of doing it is not staying on knowing that you are a terrible coach, not a terrible coach, but a coach that hasn't done the best to his ability for his team, I guess you could say. So, I mean, sure, yeah, but, you know, things could slightly go backwards if something doesn't happen. I mean, who are they facing next? Is it Argentina or Australia? One or the other. I think it's Argentina. My sports mate Hugo will know. He's probably listening right now, so I'm expecting a Hugo. If you know, send me a text and I'll read that out for you a bit later on. Okay. The council nominations are now closed, obviously. And one thing I found, like, wow, about 80% of people vote in local, in the central government. And then only about 40% of people, even less, vote in local government. I mean, local government's more important because you drive down the road, who's in charge of that? The council. Wake up in the morning, have a shower. Who's in charge of that? The council. You know, so it'll, councils are far more important than central government and the way how they affect you in the everyday life. So let's have a look who's at standing for Marsden. Standing for Marsden Mayor is Craig Bower, William Izard, Gary Caffell, Joe Hayes, Tina Nixon, and Huckapia. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Standing for council at large, Brent Gear, Brent Goodwin, Hewitt Harrison, David Holmes, Drew Hollar, Stella Lennox and Sandy Ryan. There are three vacancies for that one. Standing for the Marsden General Ward is Craig Bower, Gary Caffell, Graham Dick, Tom Helena, Peter James, Bex Johnson, Tim Nelson, Chris Peterson, and Ryan Serrano for the General Ward. There are four vacancies there. Marama Tuta is the only one standing in the Marsden and Māori Ward. There are six vacancies for the Marsden Community Trust, and here are the names of those who are standing. Mena Antonio, Don Baskerville, was it? Lucy Griffiths, Bex Johnson, Leanne Southey, Carl Tocha, Joanne Waitoa. For the Mont Front Tribal Foundation, two vacancies and two standing, so they automatically get in, Kirsty McCarthy and Grant Perry. Last up, we have the Marsden Trust Lands Trust. There are four vacancies. These are the people who are standing. Christine Brewster, Chris Collins, Bex Johnson, Monique Clogue, and Isabel McClymont. Seems Bex Johnson's just standing for everything. Maybe that's just because if she doesn't get into one thing, she'll get into the other thing. Local government now coming up. Oh, look at that. Sergeant Steve, he's texting me. I better read that text out. Who are we facing? Let's get back to that. Argentina in 2 weeks in Christchurch. So there's the answer for that. I was a bit lost there, but he's got it under the way. Hall & Oates is up next. You make my dreams come true. Oh, that's just a great Monday song, in my opinion. That is like the best song to get grooving to on a Monday. So I was just thinking about, because we were talking about the councillors and all that, I'm trying to think of the guy who ran in the last election for like every single Wairarapa council, and all he wanted to do, I think he campaigned on building a tunnel out through the Rimutaka Hill. I can't remember his name, but that's literally what he campaigned on. And unfortunately for him, there was no tunnel built because he wasn't elected to any council. Is it Chris Tunnel? Might be Chris Tunnel. No, it can't be Tunnel. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting confused now. But there was a poll done the other day whether the government was doing enough around gangs. 70% said no, and 16% refused to answer, and then 14% thought the government was doing enough. I wonder who the 14% were, right? They're probably the gangs themselves or maybe MPs, I don't know. But at least the 70% of people who said no, the government wasn't doing enough around gangs, aren't asleep behind the wheel like the government is. Of course the government is doing enough. I mean, look at the shooting incidents, which are clearly gang-related. And the young youth doing the ram raids, well, come on, that's connected to the gangs as well. The gangs do no good, so get rid of them. I mean, it's pretty obvious. What do they actually do? All they do is destroy people's lives. I've said that time and time again. It's time that something actually needs to be done about it. This government is so soft on crime, it's unbelievable. Hopefully the next government isn't like this. I quite like National's new policy where gang memorabilia will be banned in public. I think they're tough with their patch on their back. But by themselves, nah. In numbers, sure, they think they're tough. But by themselves, oh, they sack it to a wall, you know? So I hope if National is the next government, they won't be so soft on the gangs. Because at this rate, the gangs pretty much have the right to do whatever they like, because they just get away with it. And something extra needs to be done. I mean, are you in favour of the gangs? Were you part of the 70% that said the government isn't doing enough? Do you refuse to answer? Or are you soft on crime like the government and you think they are doing enough? Shania Twain is coming up in a few moments' time, but we'll jump to some entertainment news. A new FBI forensic report has found the gun used in a fatal shooting on the set of Alec Baldwin's movie Rust could not have been fired without pulling the trigger. Helena Hutchins died on set of Rust last year after being shot with the gun Baldwin was holding. The actor says he thought he was handling a cold gun, right? So one without live ammunition at the time of the incident. Baldwin later said during an interview with ABC's George, whatever that last name is, that he didn't pull the trigger. The trigger wasn't pulled, he said. However, ABC has reports that the FBI has concluded the gun could not have been fired without the trigger being pulled. So unfortunately for Alec Baldwin, he just dug himself in an even deeper hole, but he didn't even dig it himself. It was just done because of the reports. So it'd be interesting to see what actually happens there, because I haven't really followed that story for a while now. So I'd like to know what is happening with him. And is that it for him in Hollywood? Is he just no more big star Alec Baldwin? Is he gone? As I said, Shania Twain. I'm trying to think what song I'm going to play. We'll do Man, I Feel Like a Woman, because that's probably like the biggest, one of her biggest hits. Have you seen the new documentary on Netflix on Shania Twain? It's not my recommendation of the week, but I do recommend you watch it. It's quite a good watch, actually. As I said, Shania Twain.
Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions. Make no conditions. Get a little out of line. I ain't gonna act politically correct. I only wanna have a good time. Like a woman. Hey! chance to get out on the town. We don't need romance, we only wanna dance. We're gonna lay our head down. The best thing about being open is the prerogative to have a little fun. Oh, 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 but totally crazy. Forget I'm a lady. Man, shirt, short skirts. Oh, 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 really go wild. Doing it in style. Oh, 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 get in the action. Feel the attraction. Cut on my head, do what I dare. Oh, 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 wanna be free, yeah. Feel the way I feel. Man, I feel like a woman. Like a woman.
As I said, that was Shania Twain. Absolutely amazing song. I mean, most of her songs are quite good. Up next, we'll throw some New Zealand music in the mix like I always do. But last week on the show, I asked if your screen time, this is for iPhone people, and if screen time does work on other phones, so be it. If I said something like, if it was above 4 hours, try and get it to at least 2 hours and a half. Now, my screen time was down 31% last week for an average of 2 hours and 7 minutes a day. As I said, I barely touched the phone. I mean, there's so other things to do. I mean, you have so other you have so many other things, and you've got other things to do that you just don't really have time to go on your phone. You know, but I must admit, my screen time on my laptop, what is that? 6 hours and 29 minutes a day. So that's mainly because I watch a lot of movies and stuff like that on the laptop. But what is your screen time? If it is above 4 hours, try keep it to that two and a half hour mark. This Saturday, cricket great Ross Taylor is doing a book launch at Queen Elizabeth Park Sports Hub. $10 a ticket. Go down, get your book signed, or buy a book, get it signed. His new book, Black and White, yeah, that's the name of it. And yeah, they'll see, get it signed while you can. On the 4th of September, the Dad Drags are on at Marston Motorplex. This event is for street legal cars only. So the big, like Outlaw 71 and Wild Bunch and all them, and Top Door Slammer Group 1, they won't be down there. This is just like a, I guess you could say, like a pre-season event. The ultimate street car showdown. You don't have to have the fastest car in town, but if you're wanting to give drag racing a shot, enter now. Take the wheel of your daily driver or the weekend warrior and be in to win a share cash prize of $1,500. Also on the day down at the strip is the Ute Muster. Now this is new. This has not been done before, I don't think. But if you prefer watching the racing and you have a ute, you can enter in the Ute Muster. Show and shine. So just take your ute down, park it in the show area, and you could win $250 from one of the two categories. A classic up to 1981. So that's any ute any year up to 1981, that is the classic category. And then we've got the newer category from 1982 to right now. So even if you have, I don't know, a 2022 Ford Ranger, and you think that is the best ute, you take it down there and let the judges decide. How we can improve rail connections from Wairarapa will be a subject of a free public meeting to be held at the Copthorne Solway Park on Monday, August 29th, starting at 7 p.m. A Green MP, the Honourable Julianne Genta, will be there, and Regional Councillor Thomas Nash will take centre stage with rail services, certainly in need to shake up because, you know, our service is pretty trash at the moment. And so if you have any ideas of what to do with our rail connection, go down there, have a chat, make some suggestions, and hopefully some changes could be done. Netflix recommendation of the week. Now, some of my favourite actors are Adam Sandler, Robert De Niro, and Jason Statham. So, and this week, or last week, I watched a movie which I haven't really watched because you think 3 hours and a half, 3 hours and 30 minutes, that is way too long. It's got that much time to watch a movie. But at some point of my life, I did, and I watched The Irishman. Oh, I'm glad I watched it. Absolutely amazing, amazing watch it was. Oscar nominations, it's got like 12, I think, maybe even more. But it's an outstanding movie, really well put together. It's just about pretty much Robert De Niro playing a thug. He plays a thug and an older person, right? So he's an older person telling stories of his life and the mafia. Really well put together. But it's a bit sad every time you look, you know, you turn your head and you miss something. So then you got to press the 10 seconds back button. So you can't miss that movie. It is an amazing movie. You may not watch it in one. You may watch it in four bits. Half an hour there, half an hour there, 15 minutes there. But it is a big watch and it is a good watch. Dad joke of the week. This is a pretty easy one. If you don't get this one, like, come on, grow up. Why are elevator jokes so classic and good? I'll leave you to 5 seconds on that one. They work on many levels. Do you get that one? I mean, I do. I thought it was a pretty hard case, but I wonder what the viewers are saying at home and the listeners are saying at home or in a car, wherever you are. This is Roundup. Yes, I do tell dad jokes each week. I do make Netflix recommendations of the week, and this week I've added a new edition, Quiz Question of the Week. What sports do the Wellington Saints play? Nick Mills will know this one because he owns the team, and it is basketball. Whited upper weather today, partly cloudy with morning frost in sheltered places. Westley's dying out this morning, in Marsden we have a high of 13. Traffic update, according to Waka Kotahi, State Highway 2 to Marsden and Carterton, there are still roadworks in place, so there is a temporary 70 kilometres an hour speed restriction in place. Take care along this route. What did you get up to in the weekend? As I said, flat tyre, you can't do anything about it. The All Blacks, that was a good watch. Who got up at 3 a.m. to watch the All Blacks? I know a few of my mates did. I wonder if you guys at home got up to watch. Maybe you thought, oh, we're not going to win, so I'm not going to get up. And then you woke up Sunday morning just to find out the All Blacks had beat South Africa. Absolutely great game. As I said, I'm going to throw some New Zealand music in the mix. The Exponents and probably one of their banger songs, Why Does Love Do This To Me? I'm pretty sure this was like the New Zealand ad at some time for the New Zealand rugby. I think it was the 2011 Rugby World Cup. It was like their song. But anyway, enjoy the song, have a boogie, have a dance, have a sing, have a good time.
I walked out, you left me, you know I'm hurting for you. It seems now that it's over, but there is nothing I can do. We'll be right back. you know that. But when I see you, sometimes I'm cut off.
Sorry about how the song paused and started playing another song half bit, not even quarter of the way through it. I accidentally pressed something I shouldn't have, but next time, I know for next time. But if you heard the doo-doo, you'd pretty much know what the next song is. But I'm going to have a bit of an intro to it. One of the biggest stories last week was about the unfortunate passing of Grease star Olivia Newton-John. Her husband, John Easterling, announced her death on a post to her official social media accounts. Newton-John died peacefully at her home ranch, her home ranch in Southern California, surrounded by family and friends, Easterling said. Olivia has a symbol of hope for over 30 years, sharing her journey with breast cancer, he wrote in the post. Newton-John was born in 1948 in Cambridge in the United Kingdom, but when she was six, her family immigrated to Melbourne, Australia. As a teenager, she emerged as a rising pop star. After achieving worldwide fame, she was considered one of Australia's greatest cultural assets. In 1978, Newton-John delivered a performance which would remain the central to her fame for the rest of her life. She played Sandy Olsen opposite John Travolta as Danny Zuko in the film that I'm pretty sure everyone knows and has watched, Grease. Amazing film if you haven't watched it. John Travolta was among the first to pay tribute to Newton-John publicly. He said, "My dearest Olivia, you made our lives so much better. Your impact was incredible. I love you so much. We will see you down the road and we will be together again. Yours from the moment I saw you, your Danny, your John."
Days drifting away to a told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love
plan. Wonder what she's doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams, but though it's a
absolute banger, and it was great to hear that song. I've been playing it continuously over the last week after hearing that dreadful news. But some more other news. COVID-19 cases in New Zealand is at its lowest since February. I've made a promise to myself not to talk about COVID on the program because we've heard enough of it over the last 2.5 years. But I just wanted to mention that. So look, I think we've done not too well. We could have done way better, but I'm fortunate to be where we are right now, I guess you could say. That's an easy way of summing that up. We could be in a better place right now, but we'll just leave it to where we're at. I don't want to go too depth into that talk at the moment. Like, I'm asking community group, this is off the Facebook page, does anyone know the owner of the small dog that lives near Rendell Street Dairy? It's out again. It's running in front of cars on Rendell Street. Right, it will get in that. Worried it will end up getting hit one day. Please secure it in your yard. Now, I've seen this post so many times about that dog running away. So, come on, if that is your dog, do something about it, because we do not want it to get hit by a car, because it would be unfortunate. Carterton notice board. Hi, a crater-sized pothole was developed on the main road heading north out of Carterton, about 5 houses north off Kent Street. A broken water pipe under the road. If you value your car tyres and rims, slow down for that orange sign posted in front of it. And I won't mention the amount of people today who that swerved over the centre line, to avoid the pothole. Stay safe and slow down while heading north out of town. That's Carterton, so watch out for that pothole. And don't swerve on the other side of the road if there's traffic there. Just if you really have to, look in your back mirror and slow down. Just make sure there's no car right up your rear, because otherwise, yeah, that wouldn't be too good. Other day in history, Helen Conan's Master of Arts degree was just one step into her long academic career. Her education began in Dunedin, down south, where she was tutored by future Premier Robert Stout, where her family moved to Hukatika. Cannon's mother, also Helen, named Helen that is, convinced the principal of the local boys' high school to enroll her. Well, you couldn't do that these days. Conan was soon teaching at the school. When the family moved to Christchurch, Cannon's mother convinced Professor John McMillan Brown to enrol her in Canterbury University College, the first woman to be admitted. Conan became the second woman arts graduate in the British Empire when she was awarded a Bachelor of Arts in 1880. The following year, she became the first woman in the British Empire to gain the master's degree, which she achieved first-class honours in English and Latin. During her studies, Cannon was the first appointed of one teachers at the newly established Christchurch Girls High School. The year after she gained her Master of Arts, she was appointed principal while continuing to teach English, Latin and mathematics. As principal, she ensured that the physical side of her students' education was looked after with classes in gymnastics, swimming and tennis. So that's a bit of history there for you. I was trying to think, what should the next song be? And I had a good thing about it. I was thinking, well, we've done an Australian icon. Well, you know, even though she was born in the UK, we've done an Australian icon. Olivia Newton-John with John Travolta in there as well. Then I thought, Jimmy Barnes is, I don't know if he's still coming to New Zealand or not, but him with his time in Cold Chisel was just absolutely amazing when they had some absolute banger hits, you know. And the one I'm going to play for you is Flame Trees. So this will be probably our last song for the day, for the hour, here on Roundup on 92.7. So enjoy this, maybe the last song, as I said. It's a good song. I really enjoy it, and I know you will enjoy it too. Cold Chisel. Let's do this. I just wanted to finish off on a quick subject, which made international headlines, even though this has been going on in this country for a while now. But the Māori Party petition to change New Zealand's official name to Aotearoa has received a special mention on the late night TV show in the United States. South African comedian Trevor Noah, host of the Daily Show on Comedy Central, has enjoyed poking fun at what he describes as the lame colonisers who named the country New Zealand in the first place. Some international news. New Zealand may be getting a new name, said Noah on the talk show, popular with young, well-educated Americans. Yes, Māori politicians have launched a campaign to restore one of the country's original names, Aotearoa, he said, to screams of a woohoo in the audience and applause. I don't think we should change the country's name to Aotearoa. I mean, sure, we can say New Zealand Aotearoa, but let's be serious. If you go overseas and you're on a holiday, you bump into a foreign person, you don't, other than they ask you what country you're from, you don't go Aotearoa, you know. It's just like when John Key announced that we should change the flag and all that rubbish. I think it was John Key. But what good did it actually do? I mean, the petition was to keep the flag or change the flag. More people are in favour of keeping the flag. And they changed the flag, I think it was at Parliament, and Winston Peters went back and put their actual flag back up. So it's a waste of time, waste of taxpayers' money. I mean, by yourself, sure, you can call it New Zealand Aotearoa, but the official name will keep it as New Zealand because it's just going to cost too much taxpayers' money to change the name. And I didn't think the petition, they didn't get enough signatures. A lot more people opposed to just keeping the name New Zealand as it is. I mean, what is the point, really? I mean, sure, and I'm not being racist because I'm Māori myself, but it's just, it just comes down to the taxpayers' money, and there's a lot more other important issues going on in the country and in the world than having to change the country's name. That is, like, down the bottom of the list at the moment. This is Roundup. I'm Jonas Sapiata. It's nearing time for Alex Nyman to come in the studio. He's going to take over from me with his show Insights. I think it's jazz music. So over to the world of jazz. Stick around. He's up next. I'll see you next week here Monday from 11. You're on Arrow FM. Catch you later.